Hello, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield. I'm hosting Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues and the nonprofits and community leaders that are working to address them. And hopefully you'll learn something about how you can make a difference with your deeds. You know, yesterday our country recognized our president with an inauguration and all of the celebrations that followed. And, you know, whatever your political leanings, you'll probably agree that President Obama is an example of what Americans can accomplish when provided with opportunities like a quality education and when they add their own hard work to that equation. Partnership for the Future is a local nonprofit that is helping youth of great promise with access to educational leadership and career development opportunities so they can become, if not our next president, at least a community leader in their own right and successful in their chosen careers. Charlita Richardson is the president and CEO of Partnership for the Future, and she is here to share all about it. Welcome, Charlita.
Hello, Elaine. Thank you for having us with you today.
Oh, it's great to have you here. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about the community issue that Partnership for the Future is working to address?
Well, Partnership for the Future was actually started over 18 years ago with the sole purpose of helping young people in this community who have great potential. They have the desire and the will to succeed, but sometimes they have those challenging circumstances, whether it's being first-generation college students, whether it's financial circumstances, limited resources in general. So our whole goal is really to design to help these young people to ensure that they're able to matriculate to college, earn that college degree, and then be, you know, successful and come back and give back to this community. So it's been an amazing 18 years of watching these young men and women, our leaders, and seeing what they're able to do and accomplish and being able to know that we're able to help them.
That's great. Now, tell us a little bit about what Partnership for the Future actually does to support these young folks.
Wow, we do a lot. Tons of things. Everything from our students, when they join the program in their ninth grade year, we're working with them on what we call their life skills, which are pretty much the soft skills that some people would equate it to. So time management, budgeting, managing your money, everything from conflict resolution skills, making sure you have that positive attitude to go forward. Then we're also working with them on what we call the eight sectors of life. And so that kind of just hones and sharpens that. So it's the emotional, the financial, the spirituality, the self-identity, relationships. Even we add the physical component in there so that they're healthy, because if you're not healthy in your body, that may not work too well. We also provide them with college tours and making sure that they're able to see these schools that they typically wouldn't see. And then we also have our very special part that makes us unique in the college access world, as far as we have internship opportunities. So they're working at many corporations and small businesses and even at nonprofits in this community. And so when they're doing that, we're building on their workforce skills and to ensure them that they are going to be okay.
And they're ready to enter the workforce, ready
exactly.
to succeed. Well, can you expand a little bit on what you were talking about in terms of what you provide in terms of the soft skills? You said some things like conflict resolution and time management. Can you talk a little bit about what you do, what kind of trainings you provide, and why that's so important?
Well, the trainings, we start oftentimes with the first week that they're in the program. We're doing a full week at Randolph-Macon College, and they are really learning. We may bring in guest speakers to focus on the experts that understand about the attitude and demeanor you should have. With the time management, we even help them start mapping out their day. And we take it a step further and have them map out their life. And so they have a life plan in our program that we go back to when we're meeting with them on a monthly basis to say, where are we with this plan? And it helps them begin to identify each step that they need to take. And setting the goals, you know, we always hear that goals should be smart, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timed. Mm-hmm. Well, they need to know that at 14, 15 years old, because it's going to be a reality for them when they get into the workforce. And so we have them do that for everything that they're doing. The rest of our workshops, you know, we're very heavily based on, dependent on volunteers. So we have them coming in and really, you know, things like the physical workshop. We bring in a volunteer who's an expert in dance. And we teach them there are fun ways that you can exercise. It doesn't have to be the traditional, let's go to the gym or lift weights. That's great. but it's not for everybody. So how do you then equate that to something else? And so, you know, they learn the fun dance moves and mm-hmm. all of those.
Well, it sounds like a very holistic approach.
It really is. It is a holistic approach to life skills and education for today's youth at the end of the day.
That's great. Now, you said that you have them start in ninth grade. Is
yes,
that correct?
They apply their ninth grade year.
And then how long do they stay with Partnership for the Future?
They actually are with us all the way up until they graduate from high school originally. We are expanding the program now, which we're excited about for 2013, into a success program. So we will assist them once they get to college as well, just to ensure that they still have that resource, because statistics show that if you don't help a student and they don't get through freshman year in college, more than likely they're not going to graduate. And we want to make sure that just because we got them there, we need to make sure that we get them out with that at least their four-year degree initially.
I imagine that's really important when you're talking about first-generation college students.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
I mean, I've just heard statistics of the number, and I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but that the completion, there may be a decent rate of getting into college, but completing getting the college degree can be real challenging when you don't have that support system at home,
right,
or the recognition within your peers or families how important it is to complete college when there are competing interests like earning some money to support your family, things
and
like that.
You're so right. And the statistics is around 30% of first gen will actually complete it, of those that start.
Okay.
And that's drastically low. So even if they're there and then you've done harm because you probably have loans or things like that, if you drop out.
Oh, right. And you still, whether you have your degree or not, you still have to pay that back.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we want them to understand, let's set you up for success so that when you graduate, you have that income to, one, whether it's helping your family and things. And we've had stories where students have felt defeated and the parents just didn't know what else to tell them. And so that's why we want to make sure we have that base for them to say, this is what you can do to make sure that we get you through.
And by starting with those goal-setting skills right at the very beginning at ninth grade, hopefully
right.
that will carry through as well.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Now, how do students sign up or get qualified for the program?
Actually, it's the perfect timing. Applications are actually released at the end of January. So January 28th, they go out to all the schools in the city of Richmond, all the high schools. And then we have five high schools in Henrico County. That's Henrico High, Hermitage, Verona, Tucker, and Highland Springs. And so they get the applications from their guidance office completed. There are two essays in there where we're challenging them to think a little bit differently about their future and their success. And then from there, we will narrow it down to students that we will actually bring in for interviews. And it's a lengthy process. It's a panel interview. You're meeting with a board member, staff member, current student. And because we really want to have that conversation with you to see if you're the determined young man or woman.
So, again, it's all the high schools in the city of Richmond.
Yes.
And then the five high schools in Henrico.
Correct.
Okay. And where can people go to find information about that process?
They can also visit our website at www.partnershipforthefuture.org.
Partnershipforthefuture.org.
Yes.
Great. Now, tell me a little bit about what types of students you really want to hear from. I mean, what are there eligibility criteria? Do you have to be first generation?
You don't have to be first generation.
Okay.
And the student we want to hear from, they have to have a minimum 3.0 GPA. That's our one standing requirement.
Okay.
To even apply. From that point on, we start looking at everything, the rest of the dynamics in the application. So everything from your essay to, you know, your income level. But it's not as stringent. The 3.0 is.
That's the one line in the sand. There.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. That's good to know. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. Today, we're talking about a program that provides educational and career development opportunities for youth of promise in the city of Richmond and five high schools in Henrico. Charlita Richardson is telling us all about Partnership for the Future. And again, what was that website?
It's partnershipforthefuture.org.
Great. Now, tell me a little bit about first of all, how many students do you have each year coming in?
On average, it's about 135 students.
Total. So split evenly between 9th through 12th grade?
Correct. So okay. We accept about 45 new students annually.
And what is your rate of students sticking with the program?
84% of our students to start actually complete it.
Great, great. And how else do you know that you are successful in the work you're doing?
Their actual matriculation to college. So we actually have a 99% matriculation rate of students heading off to college once they graduate out. And so we are excited. And it's been over 100% over the last 6 years as well.
So. Over the last 6 years, 100% of the students that go through Partnership for the Future get into college.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Our other point is our students are scholarships. You know, we work with them every month and constantly to help them with scholarship essays and things. And so our students that just graduated, they earned over $2.4 million in scholarship money. That was 15 students.
Wow.
So.
Wow, that's incredible. So you must have had some students that got some full rides in there.
Yes.
And things like that. That's fantastic.
Full rides, some students, one student accepted to Harvard. I mean, you name
that's
it.
That's incredible.
It's awesome.
Well, that's a good way to know that you're making a difference, definitely.
Yes.
And what about the interaction with the rest of their families? Do you get much interaction with the parents or other siblings?
We do interact with the parents probably, I would say, at least 2 to 3 times a year. They come to our opening sessions that we kick off for the students. And in addition, what we do with the students that have siblings, we know that they're siblings. Usually we expect to see the sibling. I'm like, okay, are you going to apply?
Mm-hmm.
And so we typically try to have them join the program as well, especially if they meet the criteria, because they understand, having seen their siblings do it, and their parents understand that this is hard work, and it's hard work over several years. And they make that commitment. So, and then we're expanding to work directly a little bit more with the parents this coming March to help them understand the financial aid packages that their students are getting from the colleges. Because if this is your first time out trying to figure it out, it can be a little daunting.
Oh, it definitely is intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good that you're including the parents in that conversation, too, because
yes.
obviously they're an important part of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what about looking towards, you said there's a lot of hard work, and then you also earlier you mentioned the internships. Can you talk a little bit more about the internship placement and what that part of the program looks like?
Well, our students are actually placed, again, at local businesses. They are interning for 7 weeks, Monday through Thursday. They are working 40 hours a week.
So that's over the summer?
It's
then,
over
basically.
The summer.
Okay.
It usually starts the last week in June and continues to the second week in August.
Uh-huh.
And so they are doing everything from working in HR departments to legal departments to doing data research for businesses and market research. So they do a little bit of everything at these internship sites. Our business sponsors traditionally, they provide a mentor at the work site for the student.
Mm-hmm.
And then the students just come in, they shine. And then on Fridays, they're with us in specialized additional training.
Well, that's when you do some of those additional workshops.
Exactly.
So Monday through Thursday in the workplace, do they get paid for these internships?
They're paid internships. They're working minimum wage, making minimum wage. And so they do earn a little bit of income. And then the added bonus to this is we have the students open a Vest account. And so in that
Vest account, what's that?
The Vest account is actually through the Virginia 529 plan. So it's an account open specifically for college savings.
Okay.
And so we have them open this account and we encourage them and set minimums that what they must save a year. And then at the end of their program year with us, when they're graduating out, we match them dollar for dollar up to $2,000 or whatever they saved.
Great, great. So they can have an additional financial support going into that first college year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So do you have, how successful are you at finding internship placements? I mean, thinking about the recession in 2008, I think that might have hit you guys a little bit in terms of opportunities to place students.
It really did. It drastically changed our numbers. Far as at one point we were taking about 60 students a year. We managed to kind of hold on at 40 to 45. And so the challenge is really finding those businesses that are dedicated and focused in, you know, having a desire. Even if a business can't necessarily host a student, they could still help sponsor a student to work maybe at a nonprofit of their choice or one that we choose, however they want to do it. But that way, it still gets a student working, gives them something productive to do, and they're learning at the same time and making an impact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge thing for us.
So they are providing, the businesses are actually providing the minimum wage wages. Okay,
yes.
So they are themselves. It's not the Partnership for the Future
Correct.
Paying them, but you guys will do the match in the end.
Correct.
Okay, so that's a commitment for the businesses. Have you heard some testimonials from them in terms of what it means for a company to host these students?
They love it. And mm-hmm. I think the biggest testimonial for us is when we went to changing our internships to 2 summers instead of the 3, which is what we used to have, mm-hmm. all of my businesses pushed back this past year and said, no, we want our 3 summers. We want our students back uh-huh. because the students return every year. And what I discovered in listening to their stories is that they feel like they are so invested in the students. They've seen them grow. These students are becoming their next set of workforce mm-hmm. individuals. And they love just watching and just taking the steps through the years with the students. And so it's amazing how connected, and they become like the mom and dad on the side for these students.
So it's another committed set of adults looking out for what's
exactly.
best for these students.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that I'm sure makes a big difference in terms of that issue we talked about earlier of only 30% of first-year generation students actually graduating from college. Knowing that you have some support back home and people encouraging you mm-hmm. and people holding you accountable.
Yes.
I would think that's a big part of it as well, of not wanting to let folks down that have been providing that support over the years.
I definitely agree with that, and that's what we tell the students ourselves, is that at the end of the day, you know, I understand your circumstances may have been difficult and are difficult, but you still have a responsibility. And that's what we want them to get. And they get it. And they do all that they can to live up to that.
Well, 100% of the students getting into college at the past 6 years, that's a good mark of success in helping understand that and display of understanding of that. Well, again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed, and we're talking with Charlita Richardson of Partnership for the Future. She's sharing a little bit about what Partnership for the Future accomplishes with young men and women of promise in our community. And again, what's your website where people can learn more?
It's partnershipforthefuture.org.
And that's where students who are interested, ninth grade students who are interested, can find application materials, and then also where businesses can learn about how to
yes.
Take in interns?
Yes.
How else can people help out Partnership for the Future?
Between volunteers, again, you know, we have a lot of volunteers that help us with mentoring, reading essays. We have opportunities where it's one day, or opportunities where you're with the students and working with them for months at a time. So that, and then also as a nonprofit, is we love donations, mm-hmm. And it helps us with every child, because we are investing at a minimum close to $2,500 per student
each year.
Mm-hmm. And so it becomes, you know, a costly endeavor to ensure that these young people have what they need.
So tell me a little bit about you, Charlita. Why are you so committed to this work? Well, how long have you been with Partnership for the Future?
It's been 6.5 years now.
Yeah. And being president and CEO of a nonprofit, I know, is not a job I would take. I'm sure it's very challenging. So what brings you to this work? Why are you so committed to seeing it through?
Well, you say that, Elaine, you know, it's not a job that I envision having either. I'm a former accounting by trade. But, you know, my passion here is working with young people. At the end of the day, I actually am a first-generation college student.
No, you yourself, yeah.
I am. I am a graduate of Richmond Public Schools, so this is home for me.
What school did you graduate from?
I graduated from John F. Kennedy High School, which no longer exists in name.
But the building's still there.
The building is still there uh-huh. and occupied by Armstrong.
So, no hard feelings.
Yes, yeah. But so having that and knowing that plight, I've been there where these students are, and I've been down that road trying to understand, how do you navigate this? My mother did all that she could, but we both had to learn through this process. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I want the students to know that just because you may come from a single parent household, or just because you may come from this school or that school, that's not an excuse for you, you know? And so that's my passion, is really teaching them. I just had a young lady with me in a car yesterday and talking to her about that, and, you know, she, and helping to build her confidence, and just to know and watch them transform. And I shared with her, I said, you know, I remember when you started in the program, you were so angry. You just, your demeanor, your personality, everything. And she said, well, Ms. Charlita, it was because of partnership.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow, that's why you're smiling like this now. you know, and she's been with us. She's a senior now, about to head off to college. Oh. So to know that that little time with us over these last few years has given her enough confidence to say, it's because of you all, and it's made a difference. And that's where, that's what keeps me going every day. Because sometimes it's long days and nights, and you know,
it's a lot of pressures, a lot of people to answer to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah, you're right. When you can come down to a moment like that, I'm sure it makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, she fueled me for a few more months, so then I'm gonna look for another moment.
We all need a little burst like that once in a while. Yeah. Now, when you think back to when you were at Kennedy and you were, you know, going through your own struggles of deciding where to go to school and do all of that, was there somebody there for you at the time?
My mother's my greatest inspiration was there. And then outside of that, I was in programs as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my high school teacher, English teacher, she had me in forensics, and she fueled and fed into me, and still to this day. JROTC instructor. So I've had people that have invested in my life outside of my mom that, you know, that made a commitment to me. And so it's my responsibility now to invest into someone else's life, into the life of a young person that may not have that person, that backbone there for them.
And hopefully the students that you're working with right now will have the same, it'll have the same ripple effect, and they'll want to then come back and contribute to, to other youth.
Exactly. And we teach them, we have a community service component in there, in the program itself. And so some of them have even changed their desired professions after participating in some of the community service projects.
What kinds of things do you do for community service?
We actually, for our graduating students, we actually partner with a Grace Place, and we send the students in for 3 days, and they are working and helping a Grace Place with their residents, or their day residents, I should say. Mm-hmm. And really everything from, you know, because it's extra bodies, they can now take them on a special trip that they may not have been able to take them on because they're a small staff as well. Mm-hmm. We also, we've volunteered at the hospital hospitality house cooking food. Now, I don't know if we should ever do that again because it may not have been that great, but we've done game night there as well. We also have the students, our first year students are required to do 24 hours community service that summer. And so they pick their location. Some of them have done the food bank, Boys and Girls Clubs, those types of things. So you name it, we've probably done it. We also do a children's book project, which is very special to us, where we create children's books. And then we go down to the YWCA this past summer, for example, and read to the babies there from our own children's book that the kids created.
Oh, that's really neat. That sounds very special. Yes. That whole full circle of serving, creating and serving, inspiring others. So it sounds like that's going to be a cornerstone of the program long term, and hopefully something that the students will bring to the with them to their college experience as well, continuing to give back to wherever they go to college, continuing to be involved in the community and figuring out a way to give back. Because I think once you kind of get the bug of volunteering, it's hard to give it up.
You're so right. And they come back and volunteer for us now. And then some of them work for us in the summer, our students, once they graduate out.
Oh, so you keep seeing them come back over and over.
Yes, I can't get rid of them.
But of course you wouldn't want to, because that's where the joy comes. Of course that's where the joy comes. So looking ahead to the future, what are some of the other big events that you have coming up, or other deadlines? You mentioned there was a deadline for the students coming up, right?
Yes, the applications are due at the end of February, so February 28th.
February 28th,
that's okay. Their big deadline. The next biggest thing is really securing all of our internships. So we have to place 43 students this summer. So that means I need 43 internship spots. Mm-hmm. And so we like to have those wrapped up and completed by the end of April. And outside of that, we have our big closing celebration at the end of the summer, which is now officially scheduled for August 8th. So,
wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. What do you do with that celebration?
It's our own graduation for our students headed out.
Gotcha.
And so it's open to the public. It's a good way for people to interact and see the students. We're recognizing them. They're talking about their summer.
Oh, so you have a lot of your business partners and sponsors coming to the event.
Okay. Yes, yeah. And it's going to be at the VMFA this year at 5:30.
Sounds like a lovely setting. Sounds like it'll be a really nice event. Well, again, if you're just joining us, I've been speaking with Charlita Richardson, and she is the president and CEO of Partnership for the Future. You can learn more about Partnership for the Future at their website, which is, Charlita?
PartnershipForTheFuture.org.
Okay, great. Thank you. And thanks, Charlita, for joining me today. I really appreciate your time and for all the work you do for the youth in our community.
Thank you, Elaine.
Well, before signing off, I'd also like to share my thanks for Jay Westerman for engineering today's show and to Jesse Johnson for volunteering on the board down here at volunteer-powered WRIR 97.3 LPFM, Richmond Independent Radio. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on community issues through the lens of nonprofits and change makers who are working to make a difference. I hope you learned something new on the show today and that you're ready to go out and make a difference with your deeds. If you need a way to go out and do that, this Thursday, Homeward is hosting a point-in-time count where they can use volunteers to come out and do some counts of individuals that are experiencing homelessness. That's more information on that is at homewardva.org, and you can click on their volunteer link, homewardva.org. So again, think about how you can get out and make a difference in Richmond.